So this morning we started the process of cultivating mindfulness and stability of mind, sati and samadhi, as supports for vipassana, the clear seeing, the insight. And we began working with the breath to strengthen that steadiness and that refined attention. And in most meditation traditions we use the breath as a meditation object, because it connects us very immediately to our physical experience, and through that connects us to the present moment, rather than, as we more usually experience, the mind being lost in stories about the past or fantasies about the future. So we use the breath as a training ground, in a way, to strengthen the sati and the samadhi. And when we have stronger steadiness and stability of mindfulness, then we're able to stay present with increasingly complex and challenging aspects of our experience. So the development of mindfulness starts with relatively simple and easy aspects of experience, and then it progresses until ultimately nothing is excluded. And I want to mention that now because it's pretty common that people hear a lot of beginning mindfulness instructions and they can develop the misunderstanding that mindfulness is only about being with the breath, perhaps the body. And while it's true that we start there and we keep coming back there, the overall development of the practice is towards being able to be mindful of every aspect of our experience, including our thoughts and emotions. So that's the progress, the development that we'll be doing over the next few days of this retreat. For now, I want to start at the beginning with this gradual training, as it's offered in the Satipatthana Sutta, the four establishments of mindfulness. And as I think most of you know, begins with mindfulness of the body. So in the way I've been offering the instructions so far, we can think of mindfulness of the body as being a kind of a frame for our attention, helps us to maintain awareness, and then to stay connected to our present moment experience. So there's a line in the refrain from the Satipatthana Sutta. It says, mindfulness that, quote, there is a body, is established in one to the extent necessary for bare knowledge and continuous mindfulness, and one abides independent, not clinging to anything in the world. So that phrase, bare knowledge, is sometimes also known as bare awareness or bare attention, and it refers to the non-judgmental aspect of mindfulness. So just being present with our experience exactly as it is, without getting caught in our usual habits of reacting to it. And this overall attitude of non-reactivity is amplified in the second part of that quote about abiding independent, not clinging to anything in the world. So in some ways we can think of the whole of our insight practice as being about noticing where, when, how we get caught in clinging or resistance, and how to help that clinging and resistance to release. So in some ways clinging and resisting are shorthand for any kind of reactivity, liking, disliking, wanting, not wanting, any kind of entanglement with our experience, including that very common tendency to take it personally and to identify with it. So I'll be saying more about all of that later in the retreat. For now, I want to give you just a little bit of context for how this fits in to the first of the Four Noble Truths. So again, as I think most of you know, the Four Noble Truths are the core teachings of the Buddha. And in them, he lays out our existential problems and how to free ourselves from them. So in the First Noble Truth, he acknowledges that there is suffering that we do experience at times, varying degrees of unsatisfactoriness, of stress, of distress, of suffering. Those are all aspects of the Pali word dukkha. Often we create our own dukkha in the first place by how we relate to our experience, trying to hold on to what we like, trying to get rid of what we don't like. And when that doesn't work, we make it even worse by our reactivity, which makes us more unhappy, not less. So the Buddha referred to all this reactivity as clinging. So clinging is a kind of shorthand in this context for any kind of holding on, grasping, craving, identifying with experience. It also includes any form of resistance, pushing away, rejecting, avoiding, denying. So clinging is any kind of reactivity, either for or against anything. Then the opposite of clinging, which is what all of this practice is aiming for, is release. And I'm using the word release to mean, on the most simple level, letting go, allowing non-identification, non-entanglement, freedom. And through our insight practice, this release happens on deeper and deeper levels, ultimately leading all the way to the complete freedom of nibbana, awakening. But coming back to perhaps a more ordinary, everyday example of how we might orient to this release from clinging, the way we might normally, let's use anger as an example. Often when we talk about anger, it might sound something like this: I am furious. I can't believe he did that. How dare he patronize me like that? I'm so angry. I'm not his secretary. I deserve better treatment than that. I should report him to HR, but they'll only side with him. Oh, that always happens to me. So we get entangled in some kind of story that we take personally. But if we're practicing with the release, with the non-identification, we use the body as a resource to help us stay out of the story. And so then it might sound more like this internally. Anger is arising. Yep, heat in the face, tension in the jaw, clenching of the hands. Anger is like this. Not liking it is like this. Buzzing thoughts coming up. Blaming feels like this. Self-righteousness feels like this. Oh, and making space for it is like this. Ah, moment of relief being known. So did you notice energetically the difference? Maybe between those two? A little difference, yes. Anybody else notice the difference? Yeah? So with one, we're just lost in it, we're caught in it, we're identified with it, and we're reinforcing it, we're winding ourselves up into the story. And with the other, we're just staying present with the immediacy of the physical sensations and the emotions with as little amplification as possible. So we can practice with noticing our reactions to suffering, unsatisfactoriness, stress, distress. And I like to do that even here, right now. To notice if that first noble truth is actually true. And is there somewhere in your experience right now some trace of unsatisfactoriness? Or any of you here completely 100% utterly happy, content, at ease and at peace? Why you're laughing? So just to notice in this moment, perhaps there's a little discomfort somewhere in the body, with an ache in the back, maybe a feeling of hunger, maybe some tiredness or dullness, restlessness, anxiety, boredom, irritation about all this talk about suffering. So just to notice. And if there's no awareness, we often unconsciously strengthen that by identifying with it, resisting it, and so on. So for now, we're learning how to keep release that clinging so that we might abide independent. And we can use the body very immediately as a resource to learn to recognize the symptoms of clinging. So that's what we're going to be practicing in this next session. And for most of us, this isn't so easy. Generally, we're so much more used to being in our heads, in our intellects. And sometimes even the word mindfulness itself can unconsciously reinforce that bias. And there might be a sense of thinking about our experience. So for me, it was helpful to hear Gil Fronsdal talk about it as bodyfulness rather than mindfulness. And just to notice what that shift of emphasis might do. So I think of these initial stages of mindfulness of the body as being like training in body literacy. Training in refining our attention to be able to notice more and more subtle aspects of our physical experience. Ones that are often just below the level of our conscious awareness. So perhaps pressure, or hardness, or pulling, or tightness, warmth, coolness, itching, and so on. There's a whole language that we can develop here to help get more precision about our physical experiences. So as some of you know, in the Mahasisero tradition of Vipassana practice, when meditators meet with their teachers, they spend at least 10 minutes just talking about the physical sensations of the breath. That's all. So in the most refined detail imaginable. So at our next practice meetings, just joking. But I use that example just to highlight that mindfulness of the body is endlessly refinable. And I'd like to practice that now in our next session of relational practice, because having the support of a partner can really help to strengthen that capacity to notice the details of what's happening in the body. And again, this will be optional, so when we come to standing and to walking, feel free to leave the room and do whatever practice does feel supportive for you. Okay, so thank you. Let's take a moment just to come to standing.